Genesis chapter 12. Abram and Sarai have been involved in a situation and made a decision last week as we talked about it. They're in the promised land where God has told them to be. Up comes a famine. Abram apparently decides with no direction from the Lord to avoid the situation and travel into Egypt to avoid the famine, which, humanly speaking, sounds like a smart move, right? If there's a famine here, move to some place where there is no famine. Unfortunately, from a believer's standpoint, we understand that it's better to be someplace with a famine if that's where God wants you to be, as opposed to someplace where there's no famine if that's not where God wants you to be, right? Right. So Abram decides to travel into Egypt. On the way down there, he realizes, oh, wait a minute, we're going to have a situation here I'm going to have to deal with. If they find out that I'm married to Sarai, which is a fair woman, someone who is beautiful, you know, the way they do things in Egypt, if they want her, they're going to off me and take her. I was thinking about this as I was studying again. If Abram thought that it was God's will to go to Egypt, again, he's made a second mistake, because if that was God's will, then God would have protected him, right? And they could have said, yep, she's married to me, and we're trusting God to protect us while we're here. After all, God had promised what to Abram? I'll make a great nation. How's he going to make great nation if they travel into Egypt and somebody offs him to get his wife? What? And he's dead. That'll be a little difficult. So he says to Sarai, tell him you're my sister, which is a half-truth, which is really not the truth at all. But that's what they do. And it seems to work out fine. Verse 14, it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. So, yep, he was right about that. He understood that they were pagans down there. It says the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. So the princes of Pharaoh were using her as a tool to get in good with Pharaoh. You know, if I can find this beautiful woman out here and bring her to Pharaoh, he's going to show me some favor. So they were using her for, some commodity. Pardon me?
A pawn.
Some kind of commodity that they could use as well. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. It says, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and then given him sheep, oxen, goats, all this stuff. We talked about this last week. You kind of understand where Pharaoh's headed here, right? And if not, in a few verses, we'll know for sure. It wasn't just that Pharaoh decided to give these gifts to Abram. It's pretty well understood that there was a reason for this. What do you think Abram was thinking? Now I don't have my wife with me. Now she's in Pharaoh's house. He's given me all these gifts. What do you think? Do you think he understood what was going on?
Yeah.
He's not a dummy. He understands. Uh-oh. I think I really messed up this time. I think I really stuck my foot in it. And now Pharaoh's got a hold of his wife, and Pharaoh's given him presents, probably some kind of, you know, wedding present. You know, here, I'm going to give you all this stuff. And Sarai as well. Now she's in Pharaoh's house, and I'm sure she understands what is about to happen. And now what do we do? What's Abram to do at this point? He's really messed up big time, hasn't he? We see, as soon as we hit verse 17, God's protection of Abram and Sarai, We see even in this verse, God's blessing upon him even though he had messed up. Sometimes we think because things are going well that we did the right thing, even though maybe we know that we shouldn't have done that. When we compromise. I want to read a little thing here. It says, it often seems at first that a compromise between the methods of the world and God's will and promises works out very well. To begin with, it looked like things were working out pretty good. They were both safe. They were both alive. Abram hadn't been killed for somebody to get to his wife. He was getting presents from Pharaoh. So far, up to this point, things had worked out pretty good. And sometimes that happens. Christians who follow this path, in other words, this path of compromise, because that's what Abram had done, right? He compromised what he thought was best for God's will, and then once he got into the land and found out that he had messed up, he compromised again and told a lie and was living a lie while he was there and had found out that he was kind of stuck. Again, Christians who follow this path may misinterpret the prosperity that follows such a compromise as a confirmation that this was the way to go, right? Things look good. Things are the way they should be. After all, God's leading, and they may become quite satisfied in the situation. Until that is, God finally has to deal with them in chastisement, forcing them out of the compromising position and back into the walk of true faith. And we're going to see that take place here. We know that that takes place in our lives because we mess up sometimes too. Anybody here never messed up? I want to talk to you later. No? Okay, good. And God forgives, and God, our fellowship is returned, and we can get back into God's will for our lives. But we need to deal with the compromise here. So this is what's taking place. And God, where was he? Okay, so, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" Did you ever stop and wonder how Pharaoh figured out that Sarai was Abram's wife? And the other thing, as we read through this, I've mentioned this before, sometimes you think, well, okay, here's the first day, here's the next day, here's the next day. So this is probably 3 days worth of... No, this is probably an extended period of time over which Abram received these gifts, over which Sarai was taken in. So it's not, you know, like 3 days worth of narrative here. Yeah. So it could be that God spoke directly to Pharaoh in some way. It could be that these things started happening to Pharaoh's house. What the plagues were, we don't know specifically, but things started happening. Pharaoh is the Pharaoh not because he's a dummy. So maybe he starts asking around, what's going on? What's going on? And someone spills the beans about Sarai being Abram's wife. I don't know. We don't know. We're not told. But somehow he figures it out. Somehow God allows him to figure out what's going on. Excuse me. Pharaoh brings Abram in and says to him, "Why did you do this to me? You didn't tell me she was your wife." Verse 19. Why thou saidest, she is my sister. So basically he's telling Abram, what? You lied to me. You came into my country and you lied to me. I'd be more scared if I was Abram at that point. that the Pharaoh was going to get too upset and take my head off. But anyhow, and it says, so I might have taken her to me to wife. Now behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way, and we'll continue here in a minute. We see here what Pharaoh's intent was, right? If you'd had any doubt earlier about why he was giving away gifts to Abram, it wasn't because Abram was a nice guy or they were buddies or they got along well together. There was a purpose behind that, and this was it. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him that they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And then verse 13 says they went on up out of Egypt. I wanted to read another paragraph to you, something to think about. Abram's compromise seemed to be working out very well to begin with. Sarai was safe with him, and he himself not only was alive but was prospering. But what happened when Pharaoh actually decided to take Sarai as wife? And it talks about both of them being concerned about the circumstance. They found themselves in a position where they could do nothing about this. Abram couldn't go to the Pharaoh once Sarai had been taken to the Pharaoh's house and say, oh yeah, by the way, I lied to you. As they were chastised by Pharaoh, and you say, and somebody might say, well, yes, Pharaoh sent them away, and they went away richer than when they came. They were both alive. God provided. Yes, he did. So it must have been a good thing that happened, right? Because they left richer than when they got there. In the world's eyes, they might see it that way. What kind of testimony did they leave? Definitely, definitely. If whoever, however I find out this truth, whether God appeared to Pharaoh or whatever took place and understood that the reason for his house being plagued, whatever those plagues were, not just any individual can bring that about, right? There's something here, some higher power, if you will, that's in control of this situation. If just me bringing his wife into my house and thinking that maybe I'll marry her is enough to bring these plagues on me, if I even harm them in any way, what's going to happen? So, yes, I'm sure there was great fear involved. But instead of Abram and Sarai, instead of them representing God when they traveled into... if they had gone into Egypt, and if Abram had said, this is Sarai, my wife, and trusted God to provide for them, and had presented the fact that they had traveled into a promised land led by God, who had watched over them, who had protected them, and God protected them while they were in Egypt, those individuals that were in Egypt would have seen God's hand working in their lives, right? And they would have had a testimony that they could have shared with the people in Egypt. Now what kind of testimony did they have? None. None, because, and it all started out with the fact that Abram compromised and stepped out of God's will for him and traveled someplace he shouldn't. And then, on top of that, compromised again and told a lie and lived that lie while they were down there. So no longer did they have a testimony with any of the Egyptians or Pharaoh, for that matter. If God had provided in some other way and kept them safe, Pharaoh may have seen God's hand working in their lives and God's protection upon them. Not anymore. And who did God have to use to chastise them for what they had done wrong? Somebody in the world, right?
I'm thinking as you're talking here, John, we think on the other side, looking on, how good it would have been if Abram would have done the right thing. And we would all agree, yeah, that would have been so much better. But I also think this is put in here, all of these things were put here for our what?
For our learning,
yep. And I think the same is true about us in modern times. How good it would be if we would just always do the right thing. Agreed? But we don't. And this is a good illustration of, I'm not excusing Abram. I'm just showing that our Heavenly Father is faithful to his own to bail us out when we've blown it.
Otherwise, how many of us would be here?
I wouldn't be.
We would have gotten to that. But yeah, a great example of God's provision, God's faithfulness to Abram and us, like you said, even when... in spite of our flaws, in spite of us messing up. And God's blessing Abram even through this situation, because he left with more than what he had come with. He could have left with nothing. Pharaoh could have said, take your people and go, and you know, all those gifts that I gave you are staying here for that. But no, God blessed Abram even through that. Another thing I want to read. They should never have gone into Egypt in the first place. The Lord surely could have supplied their needs in Canaan. True or false? Yes, we talked about this before. Probably not everybody in the land of Canaan moved, right? Some stayed, some survived. God could have easily provided. Another thing, we talked about Abram and Sarai and Lot and everybody that was with them. It wasn't just three people. It wasn't just four people. It was a group of people, and they came already with flocks and livestock and provisions. So it's not like they were on the border of poverty when the famine hit and they had no way to provide their needs. God had already, in a way, provided, could have been providing some of those needs by him being well-to-do already and everything that they brought with them. But as we continue on, God could have supplied their needs in Canaan, even in time of famine. But once in Egypt, they should have been careful to maintain a good testimony at all costs. God could have protected them, we talked about this, there as well, without such a degrading compromise. After all, he did protect them and provide for them in spite of their compromise, which again, God does for us as well through his grace that he shows to us, even though we mess things up. Again, it's easy, of course, for us to be critical of Abram as we read these things, but it's very doubtful if we had been in his shoes that we would have chosen differently. Very true. Many times, because of a circumstance, we make a decision and decide that we're going to do this or that because of the circumstance we see, instead of going to God and looking for his direction and confirming that. I remember Bob telling us about how he decided, or how he knew he was supposed to go to the mission field, and how God gave him a specific verse. God gave him that desire. Circumstances worked out. We talk about open doors, closed doors, but that's not the only way God leads. So we need to be careful as well. We also need to learn the same lesson that he learned, and often we have to learn it the same way, by being rebuked by the very unbelievers we would like to win to Christ. And that's the worst part about the whole thing, is once we mess up, a lot of times the people that rebuke us for our wrongdoing is the world. You're right. Look at those Christians. They're no better than I am. And then our testimony has been tarnished at minimum, possibly destroyed at most. Consider those things, and probably the same thing went through their minds. It says, chapter 13, as we continue on, and this really should be part of verse 12, or chapter 12, I think. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that they had, and Lot with them, into the south of the promised land. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. What do you think that trip was like on their way home?
Slower.
Huh?
Slower.
That's what I'm looking for. What do you think they talked about or how they felt after being kicked out of Egypt by the Pharaoh because of the circumstances they had gotten themselves in? I think you're right. I think it would have been a quiet trip home. Hours on end without talking to one another, thinking about what I had done, how I messed up, what I should have done. I think that's the way. And again, from the world's point of view, they would have looked at this and said what? Hey, you did pretty good. You went in the land of Egypt. You missed the famine. You came out richer than you left. Everybody's safe. Everything worked out fine. Yeah. But we understand the cost, or at least part of the cost so far, that was paid. Verse 3, and he went on his journeys from the south even to... Oh, by the way, we have no response recorded from Abram when he was approached and rebuked by Pharaoh. Right? What could he say? You're right, I was wrong. Another thing to think about. Excuse me, verse 3, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. Remember what happened at that location as he was traveling south? Unto the place of an altar, of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Where was Abram headed? In his travels back north from Egypt, to the south of the promised land, he was headed back to God, right? I think he understood the situation he had gotten himself in. And why do you think he was headed back to that altar? That place specifically, where he had been before, where he had built an altar. It tells us why. Why did he go there? Okay, that would have been an interesting conversation to hear, wouldn't it? What do you think Abram had to say? What do we say when we find ourselves in that kind of position? Dear, huh? Forgive me for my mess up. I really did it this time. And he needs to understand that God watched over him while he was there, even in the problems that he created himself, and that not only that, but God provided and blessed him even through that situation. God is, what's the word pastor used? God is faithful to us, even though many times we're not faithful to him. Quite a lesson we learned from Abram in this situation that he went through. And again, Pastor already talked about of the application that we have. Sometimes you think of Abram, sometimes I think of the individuals that we hear about in the Old Testament. You know, all these individuals that we think are great individuals that God used. They are great individuals that God used. Why? Not because they're perfect, but because at some point in time, they finally realize I need to trust God completely with everything that goes on.
It's a facet of God's love towards us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Because we are that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Which means all the prior was true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the same thing we do. We start over.
That we do. I don't know how much more time. We'll keep reading here a little bit. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, I don't know where Lot came up with all this stuff. Maybe some of the presents overflowed from Abram to Lot. Maybe Pharaoh was giving Lot presents as well, but Lot had flocks and sheep and goats and all this just like Abram did. And the land they traveled to was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt with them in the land. So they get back, and we assume that Abram has gone to God and confessed his sin. God's forgiven that, because God says he will. And all of a sudden, this situation, well, maybe not all of a sudden, but this situation comes up. So they're now in the land, and the land won't support the two flocks, which sounds interesting to me. You know why? If I draw a line right here, and Lot's flocks are on that side of the line, as far as you want to go, and my flocks are on this side of the line as far as I want to go, just don't cross the line. How could you not supply enough for the flocks? If you could go miles, I don't care how many miles you go that way, or that way, or that way, just stay on that side of the line.
But the Canaanites and the Perizzites are on that land.
I understand that, yes.
So maybe but they didn't have all of that.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I think... Yes, I think that was part of it. Yes, it was a cramped area. But look at what else was going on. There was conflict between those who took care of the two groups of livestock. Why was that? Not just because, oh, your sheep got into the grass that mine was going to eat.
Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
And so that might be why, even though the line's there, they wanted to stay as close to that line as they could, because then they're with people that they know when.
Yeah. Okay. Read the next verse, verse 8. Oh, we're not going to be able to. I wonder if this conflict was the next test that God had for Abram, Sarai, Lot, and that entire group after seeing what had gone on in Egypt. We'll talk about this next time. Hopefully this has been a challenge. God works through our hearts and lives just as he did as Abram's and forgives us our wrongdoings as well, as long as we go to him. Challenge for us. Don't live like Abram, but live the way we're supposed to. Okay, you're dismissed.